Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM from unceded Musqueam territory at UBC Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton, and you're listening to what is about to be the White Noise Show. It's a half hour of sketch comedy, followed by the White Noise After Show, where I'll be joined today by a special guest and award-winning poet, Kai Holmes. Say hello, Kai.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, your mic's the wrong mic. There we go. Have another go.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, so how you doing today, Kai? Sweet. All right. So we're going to have a little chat after. Just before we start the show, though, always like to remind you, you can join us on Twitter at White Noise UBC. You can get to us on Facebook at, surprise, surprise, White Noise UBC. And, of course, our best of site, if you want to catch up with a little bit more of what we do here when we're not here, is whitenoisecomedy.podbean.com. But without further ado, I think it's time for the White Noise Show. Warning, the following programming contains adult subject matter and some strong language. It is a work of satirical fiction. All characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to White Noise. I'm Richard Blackmore, and this show is brought to you in part by women's soccer. It's like men's, but with less diving and crying. First up tonight is two couples having dinner.
Well, our Johnny is loving his new boarding school. It costs a lot of money, but we love our kids so much, we just want to see them during the school holidays.
I would have loved to send my kids to private school, but we just never had the money.
Well, you simply have to find the money, work the extra hours, blackmail a few close friends.
He's right. If you love your kids, you'll find a way.
We love our children, but we're just always strapped for cash.
And yet you both work. Wow. I could never work and be a mother. How would I be able to show my face at the country club?
Well, many people do both.
And good for them. But I spend half my day explaining to the help what to do. Then I have a book club, and then it's time to get ready for dinner.
I've never tried your cooking, Nancy.
Cooking? No, I mean getting ready for dinner at a restaurant. Who in their right mind would wear day clothes to a restaurant? I'm not a tramp.
I don't think they eat in restaurants very much, Nancy.
I expect not. It's probably very hard to get a reservation without a phone.
So, Eric, how is work?
Well, we are currently buying out a regional airline, using a reverse leveraged buyout where we use the assets of the company to buy them, leaving them on the hook if it all falls through.
Oh, right. Well, that sounds a bit shady.
Absolutely. And legal. Isn't it brilliant?
Well, some people like to make their living honourably.
Ha! Morality is completely made up. As long as the state you live in isn't going to stop you, there are no consequences. So why object?
Because I'm not an asshole?
Well, one man's asshole is another man's... Well, never mind. Are you still using that old banger to get around?
No, my sister won't give me rides anymore. I'm having to take the bus.
Oh my goodness! Does it hurt?
Does what hurt?
Your pride. I'm sorry, old chap, but that is funny. A bus. Does it at least pick you up when you call, or do you have to get the driver to knock on your door?
No, you go to the bus stop and wait for it there.
Amazing! And nobody complains about it wasting their time.
No, people still complain.
Wow. So, have you been on a holiday anywhere nice this year?
Well, we
went to the Dominican Republic. It was amazing, wasn't it, honey?
Oh, yes. We stayed at this beautiful compound, completely walled off from the rest of the island. We didn't get asked for change once, did we, darling?
No, it was wonderful. We shopped, we lay on the beach, we went to dinner at restaurants. It was very cultured, the whole thing.
Well, we went camping at the lake, you know, where we always go. It was really peaceful, and we had a lovely time.
Camping? I would never go camping. I'd be afraid of getting bitten by all those working-class people.
And defecating in the woods. Dear God.
No, they have normal toilets.
Really? We have toilets in the woods? Well, you learn something new every day. I thought toilets were man-made.
Well, I think it's best if we were going. Got to get home and try out my new 90-inch screen. The one that was already in the downstairs bathroom was only 65 inches. Ah, the bill. So we ordered the champagne and lobster. You guys had the soup and sandwich shared. So, let's say, split the bill in half? Perfect. See you next month, same time. Ta-ta!
Bye, you two. Say hello to the bus captain for me.
They're called drivers.
Oh, so quaint. Bye now.
Bye. Dear God, they have to be the worst people I have ever met. And I've met Kanye West. They may be a little pretentious and materialistic, but you have to remember, they are our son and his wife. Don't remind me.
Ah, family dinners. Mine are always a nice tenderloin with a side of tension. Next up tonight is everyone's favorite diarist, Terence Tripoli.
Dear Diary, this weekend was a weekend like no other I have ever had. Mainly because I wasn't alone the whole time. Instead, I joined a singles outdoor adventure group designed to allow singles to mingle until they tingle. I nearly didn't make it to the campsite, as the gentleman who offered me a ride up the highway to the campsite insisted on stopping on an access road and unzipping his pants. Once I had checked that the boil on his backside wasn't infected, we carried on arriving just in time for the first activity. We played that game, Two Truths and a Lie. For mine, I chose the truth that I once read all three Lord of the Rings in one sitting. The truth that I once got to second base on a first date. And the lie that I was arrested for being a pervert. For some reason, everyone picked the second one as a lie, and even the instructor didn't believe me when I insisted the last one was the lie. Feeling a little irritated, I joined the others for the second task, kayaking. I had been looking forward to this one, as I had been a keen kayaker in middle school and perfected the Eskimo roll. I was quickly informed that it is now referred to as an Inuit roll, but that just sounds like sushi to me. Unperturbed, I paddled out into the center of the lake, shouted, "Watch this!" and spun upside down in my kayak. I didn't realize there was a large amount of weeds below my kayak and became entangled and trapped. The supervisor took a suspiciously long time to come to my rescue and was rather reluctant to perform CPR, even though I insisted I needed it. Finally, safe and dry again, we moved on to rock climbing. This was lots of fun, especially abseiling down after completion. The second time, I only screamed a little bit. I did make a little slip up, though, when I was belaying for another climber, when I let the rope slip as the girl was abseiling down. She was very nice about it, and the doctor said her left leg might be able to be saved, though probably not. The next activity was go-karting, which was fantastic. I wasn't allowed to drive, but I got to wave the flag as much as I wanted, when they told me to. Finally, to end the singles adventure, we had a party round the fire with drinks and nibbles. I misunderstood, though. Apparently, you're not meant to just nibble a bit of every piece of food on the buffet. I thought that was the point, to share. The music they played wasn't my sort of thing, but I didn't want to be a stick in the mud, so I did my best fist bumping and twerking for all to see. At the end of the night, I did manage to get a phone number for a shrink. Ah, well. Back to staring at women in the park like a normal person.
Thank you, Terence. Always be careful outdoors. That's where every animal you've ever feared lives. Next up tonight is two men planning a robbery.
Look, Neil, how are we going to pull this one off?
Look, Carl, it's dead simple. We drive the van through the shop window and grab as many women's panties as possible.
Right, and then what?
We have a lot of women's panties.
I see, and who are we going to sell them to?
Sell them?
Yeah, well, that's how we usually profit off this stealing, Mark.
Ah, of course, we're going to sell them. Eventually.
Oh, I see, yeah. You want to wait till the heat dies down, don't you, yeah?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, where are we going to store them then?
Oh, my house is fine.
Okay, but I don't think that they're all going to fit.
But the extra large fits perfectly.
I mean, in your apartment.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, well, you can keep the smalls and the mediums at yours.
But I'm extra large too.
I used to enjoy a good panty raid at summer camp, till Mrs. Jennings caught me stealing her bloomers. They're going to make a great hammock. Next up tonight is a man in limbo.
Hello?
Briggs, please come to the desk.
Hi.
Gary Donnelly, is it?
That's correct.
I see here on Form 23B, you have selected heaven as your preferred final destination.
That's correct. I've been a Christian all my life, never hurt anyone, never had sex, out of marriage.
Yes, I can read.
So am I in?
I'm afraid your request has been denied, Gary.
What? Why? Was it that thing I did with Billy in college? Oh, we were really drunk.
No, that's a common misinterpretation. The Bible clearly says, don't lie down next to another man. Buggery is fine.
Well, what then?
Well, first off, you wore torn clothes between 2001 and 2006. That is not allowed.
Oh, but it was fashionable.
Yes. And do you think those heathens like Calvin Klein made it to heaven?
Okay, fine. But is that the only reason I'm not getting in?
No, there's the working on Saturday.
But I worked in sales all my life. Sometimes you have to work weekends.
Not if you want eternal salvation. You also played American football.
What's wrong with throwing the old pigskin around?
You just answered your own question. You actually failed on two accounts there, as you're not allowed to wear polyester either. No mixed blends are allowed.
Wow, as if wearing polyester could get any worse.
And then, of course, there was your bowl cut.
You mean my haircut in the 90s?
Exactly. Aaron Carter sentenced an entire generation of boys to eternal damnation. Ironically, eternal damnation includes listening to Aaron Carter albums.
Yeah, but all these rules seem so arbitrary. I did the main things. I never lied or cheated or got a tattoo.
God redacted the tattoo thing, actually. He's got a killer sleeve. It's a dragon eating a koi carp who's eating Muhammad the prophet. Regardless, you didn't follow all the rules. You can't pick and choose which to follow. You either believe everything or you decide it's not for you. If you decided to join AA, you wouldn't pick and choose which steps to follow. You would just do them all because that's the whole point of the group.
Can I at least reapply for Nirvana instead?
Yes, but you have to wait at least 6 weeks for processing. Next!
Religion. Some people use it for good, some use it to exploit everything and everybody. Next up tonight is a couple deciding where to live.
I want to live in the city. I can't stand the suburbs.
But the suburbs are great. Nobody pees on your door.
But there is nothing to do.
Rubbish. There's lots of chores to be done around the house.
Ew. Come on, you love the city.
Fine, but I want a townhouse. No apartments.
But apartments are great. They have amazing views.
This apartment overlooks an abattoir and a sewage treatment facility.
Yeah, I'll never understand how they got planning permission. Especially next to the children's hospital.
And we need a garden.
Why? So wasps can ruin every dinner you have?
Well, it's the wasps or you.
Whoa now, we said we would pretend everything else is fine until we can find a place to live together.
Sorry, you're right. So how many bedrooms?
Three. One for us, one for an office, and one for...
A baby?
No.
Oh.
Even better. A room for storing all the things we don't have space for.
Like my dad?
Oh, no, not this again. Your dad isn't allowed to live with us until he apologizes for having a party whilst we were on vacation.
He's 75!
His friend broke my Axl Rose signed lamp.
His friend had a heart attack.
Probably all the drugs they were undoubtedly doing in my living room.
Oh, they do a lot of drugs, Rob, but they're all prescription.
Oh, no, we're doing it again. Let's just stay on house choices.
Well, it's a three-bedroom apartment, no garden, no dad. Anything else?
No, I'm happy. How about you?
I think we're missing one thing.
Oh, yeah?
A divorce.
Don't worry, Rob. Divorces can be cheap. If you're like me and don't own anything, next up tonight are some ghosts.
Is the haunting going?
Not bad, can't complain. I made him wet himself at work yesterday. You?
I'm taking it pretty easy these days. Since I got committed to the psych ward, it's lost a bit of its challenge.
Ah, victim of your own success, eh?
Yes, lately I mainly just hang out in men's changing rooms and take the occasional trip to the seaside. It's a lot like being retired again.
Well, count your lucky stars, I'm busier than a busy bee who overslept the morning after taking a week off work.
Oh, that is busy. Well, I'm envious.
Well, take on an apprentice.
We can do that.
Yeah, hang on. Let me fetch one.
Okay.
This is Phyllis.
Hey.
Hello, Phyllis.
Phyllis here just died from poisoning. thanks to her dear stepmother, who wasn't quite willing to share her 90-year-old deceased husband's millions.
Perfect. Not for you, of course. Sorry, Phyllis. I mean to say, I think I can help you get your own back on this cretin you call a stepmother.
Fine.
I'll be off. I have to pop out of his headboard whilst he's making love. It always gives him erectile dysfunction.
So where did you want to start?
Whatever.
You don't seem too excited.
I just died. I'm a little upset.
Oh, cheer up, you miserable bastard. Now you get to wreak havoc on your stepmother as long as she lives.
So my reparations for being poisoned by my stepmother is I get to follow her around for eternity?
Only until she's dead.
That could take years.
No, just drop something on her.
Oh, okay then. Any suggestions?
Don't miss.
I mean, what to use?
I don't know. An anvil?
An anvil? Where would I get that?
Sorry, I died a long time ago. Anvils were a lot easier to find then. Look, I'm really not sure. Go watch Final Destination. One of those five movies should give you a good clue.
You're not very good at this.
Well, dead beggars can't be choosers.
I always wanted to be haunted by a ghost. I'm just haunted by my past. Next up tonight is an interview for a telemarketing job.
Good morning. I'm Rhonda Lousy. Please take a seat.
Thanks. My name is Zechariah, and my resume is on fire.
No, it's just smoldering now. I really shouldn't smoke in here, but, well, better to die from a quick fire than agonizing emphysema. So, tell me, why do you wish to be a telemarketer?
As a poet, a slam. Speaking with my people is my jam. I pontificate while I defecate, but when I'm on the phone, I stay in the zone.
I see. And can you tell me a time during your last job when you went above and beyond for a customer?
During my time at KFC. A girl got two pieces when she wanted three. I made sure she got her third comped, and then that made me feel pumped.
Excellent. And what skills do you have that you feel would make you an invaluable part of our team?
I'm a team player, a doer, not a sayer. I'm self-motivated. That's not to be debated. I will hit those sales targets, even in the tougher markets. I'm a diligent worker, not a responsibility shirker.
One final question. What's your expected wage?
Whatever you decide is my reward. I won't wish upon you anything untoward.
Lovely. Can you start Monday?
Yeah, sure, no problem. Thank you so much for hiring me. I'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Wow, that takes such skill. Telemarketing is really hard. Next up tonight is another episode of the Newly Divorced Game.
Welcome to another episode of The Newly Divorced Game, the show where the recently separated answer questions about each other to win big cash prizes or custody of their kids. It's up to them. I'm Don Sisla, and tonight's contestants are Jared and Leanne from Vancouver, BC. Hi, Jared.
Hi, Don. Love the show. Great to be here.
Okay, suck up. So, Jared, what do you do for a living?
I'm a stay-at-home dad.
And how much does that pay?
Nothing. I take care of my three kids.
Oh, I see. Well, have you been dating anyone since the divorce?
Not many requests for an unemployed single dad with three kids.
No shit. And what prize are you looking to take home tonight?
Well, my kids will hear this, so I'll have to say the money!
Well, great to have you. Leanne, how are you doing tonight?
Fine, thank you.
And what do you do for a living?
I'm an interior designer.
Ooh, I bet your house is beautiful.
Well, it would be if it wasn't full of kids.
Have you been on any dates since the divorce?
No, just antidepressants. I'm trying to support my family and work 50 hours a week. What kind of stupid question is that?
Well, with that warm personality, I'm sure someone will snap you up soon. Finally, are you looking for the cash or the kids tonight?
The kids, of course. Who the hell would say the cash?
Well, we'll be right back after these messages. The Newly Divorced Game is sponsored by eHarmony, Tinder for old people. And also Coca-Cola. It tastes just as good when you're divorced. We are back and our contestants are ready for my quick-fire questions. Jared, to go first, start the clock. Jared, what is Leanne's biggest fear?
Spiders?
Incorrect. It's HIV. That is a good thing to be scared of. What is Leanne's worst memory?
Losing her top during swimming class in grade 11?
Incorrect. It was marrying you. What is Leanne's favorite place to go?
Oh, that's easy. That's, Italy.
Incorrect. It's anywhere you're not. Time for one more. What is Leanne's favorite book?
Probably Anyone Without Me in It.
That's correct. 1 point for Jared. Leanne's turn. This is for the kids. Start the clock. Who is Jared's favorite relative?
Himself.
Correct. What is Jared's greatest ambition?
To perform with Dolly Parton.
Incorrect. His dream is to have sex with Dolly Parton. What was Jared's first pet called?
Adolf.
Correct. Congratulations. You win your children back.
Yes. In your face, you cheating bastard.
Easy, Leanne. Did you have to bring up my affair?
I was talking to Jared.
Oh, right. That cheating bastard. Well, there you have it, folks. Once again, scores have been settled, children have been saved, and all thanks to the good work of this game show. Good night, everyone. And remember, if you can't work it out like civilized adults, let us air your dirty laundry on national radio. Wow, what a game show. Won't be long before that show replaces The Price is Right. At least there would be less screaming. That's our show. Join us again for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, featuring the voice talents of Ponina Shelput, Sierra Wiley, Victoria Bass, and Simon Welton. Music and sound effects by Max Cheers. All right, there you go. That was the White Noise Show. My name is Simon Welton. Today I'm joined in studio by Kai Holmes, and we're going to be here for the after show. We're going to play a song first, though, give you a chance to go to the bathroom, do whatever you got to do, and then we'll be back. So this is Tobias Jesso Jr., who we featured last week, and play another track by him this week. He's going to be at the Pemberton Festival, so I hope you guys can get out to that. But if not, enjoy this. This is Just a Dream.
Yesterday I had a baby. Now she is one day old, looks just like her old lady. Last night I had a bad dream that the world would end and would be forever ending. She smiled.
All right, there you go. That was Tobias Gesso Jr. with Just a Dream. That's a really good track, in my humble opinion. So I'm joined in the studio today by Kai Holmes. How are you doing today, Kai?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good.
Did you have a good Canada Day?
Yeah, it was great. Went to a barbecue.
Oh, you wild thing, man. Whew.
Love it.
Did you enjoy the fireworks, or are you like me and really don't see any point in those after about 12 years old?
You know, pretty lights in the sky are, they're interesting if you're on drugs, but when you're not, just absolutely no reason to watch pretty lights in the sky. So,
and the thing is, if you're on drugs, you don't even need the fireworks. You have the pretty lights regardless.
Exactly.
But all right, so I was going to, you know, there's a few topics we brought up today in this week's show. And of course, then none of them are the serious topics we brought up. I want to talk about the silliest ones. So my question to you is, what would your personal hell be like? We saw, you know, the question of God and Earth and all that fun there. What would your personal hell be?
First reaction, my personal hell would be sitting in the dental chair for one of those cleanings, you know, where the those hygienists, like, get right in there with the little hooks and you can't move. It's just, it's awful every time. I put in headphones and I'm like, okay, I don't want to talk. Just, I'll keep my mouth open.
Might ask me questions while she's doing it.
Yeah, they always want to talk to you, and you have to talk around things in your mouth. Yeah. It makes no sense.
And like, the thing too is, you're like, they're stabbing me in the gum. Is that necessary? I'm not qualified to really answer that question, but
I guarantee it's not necessary. I mean, if you have someone there and they're just at your mercy, wouldn't you take a few stabs at them?
Depends how annoying they were, I think, you know. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think to be that vindictive, they'd have to wind me up a little bit, but...
Well, yeah.
You know, maybe they were talking to me and they just... Yeah, it's true. Like, I mean, they do a lot of chatting with you, so maybe there is something that comes up that they're just like, really? Really, mate? All right, then. Yeah, I mean, the thing about dental hygiene is that sort of... my issue with them was that I didn't know they existed till I was 15, because I grew up in Britain and moved here at 15. And they were like, yeah, this isn't just for rich private dentistry. This is actually like normal people get teeth cleaning. And so I then had to experience a session of 14 years of plaque being scraped off my teeth in one go.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I know how that is. I haven't been to the dentist now in like probably 3 years because I don't have benefits. So... I don't want to pay out of pocket to not enjoy myself. So I guarantee my next one, which is coming up, is going to be quite a doozy, and I'm going to be cursing myself for not going. But
Are you one of those that starts that flossing routine about a week before the dental hygienist? Or?
No, I'm actually pretty good with the flossing, the mouthwash, all that stuff, except I'm never sure if you're supposed to mouthwash before or after you brush or... any of that nonsense.
Well, if it's got fluoride after, I assume, but
who knows, man.
Okay, well, this is fascinating conversation.
Absolutely.
But
just the best. Dental hygiene.
My second question for you would be, what would your if you could haunt anyone, who would you haunt?
If I could haunt anyone, who would I haunt? I'd have to say that I would probably haunt the Pope, because then I could just really convince him that God is, you know, taking a personal interest in his papacy, and freak him out a lot by moving stuff around. So I think that'd be a fun way to mess with all Catholics, by just slowly driving the Pope insane. Not that I have anything against Catholics, but I want to go for the biggest target possible.
Well, it's true, because, I mean, he arguably has control over more people than literally anybody else in the world.
Exactly.
The leaders of China and India have got to be pretty close. I mean, they're knocking over a billion each as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. As far as I can see, though, like, if you're going to let religion have such a huge place in your life, you're opening up, you're opening yourself up to be messed with.
Oh dear. Yeah, I mean, it amazes me that, like, anyway, yeah, we probably shouldn't go into that, but all right, I got a third question for you, which is we featured a robbery this week, so I wonder, like, if you could do any robbery, what robbery would you do?
What robbery would I do?
Yeah, like, what would you all pinch?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to be boring and just say it's straight money because, you know, obviously that's lame. Again, I'd say I would pinch all the... I would break into Area 51. If nothing else, just to put to rest all conspiracy theories or confirm them as the case may be. Just break in there, steal every file and hard drive I can find, and spend the next few weeks scouring them and then release it all and go, haha, stupid fuckers, you've been avoiding the desert for no reason.
Well, the whole Area 51, like that particular case, I think has been quite well disproven now, because this the whole secrecy around it will have clearly been the fact that it was during the Cold War.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was probably some sort of Russian satellite or some sort of spy technology
I'm fairly certain,
shot down.
Like, if you look into it, it's all but proven it was that particular stealth bomber that they were developing, and now it's just a research and development base. And like all military bases, you know, they're not going to let you walk around on there. But there's still people every day are like, oh, Area 51's where the government's got the secrets. And it's all it's absolutely ridiculous. If anything, if there were government secrets related to anything wacky, they'd be in a place where we have no idea what it's called, not a place that they've made movies about.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, and the thing is, like, you know, America's fairly vast, and there's some pretty substantial desert and you know, really treacherous areas. So, I mean, it wouldn't be hard. And also, they can just dig underground giant things.
Yeah,
and
put anything 7 feet underground, and nobody who's not specifically looking for that thing is going to find it, ever.
Yeah. No, truly. I mean, you know, yeah. So it wouldn't be that hard. Or you do it on one of the many sort of occupied things, like, you know, the Marshall Islands and like all these different territories around the world where they can hide whatever the hell they want.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, they have an army base on Cuba. Like, you know, they really have gall. So, you know, it wouldn't be amazing that one of these little islands they occupy suddenly is just a big research facility.
Yeah, it's probably the most innocuous of all army bases where nobody does anything exciting. Is where all the secrets are kept, you know? It's just some dude sitting in a library with all these secret files that go back years.
It's probably in Canada, I bet you. I bet you they were like, no one's going to look in Canada, man. Like, it'll be fine. We'll just hide it all there.
Yeah.
Like, no one's looking. I mean, there's a big conspiracy that apparently there's a big Canadian Secret Service base, like, underneath Brentwood Mall in Burnaby.
Which is ridiculous, because now they've just dug up the entire... parking lot you can see underneath.
Which proves there's nothing there. Yeah,
yeah. But I know I worked there for a while, as you well know, and I heard those rumors too. Like, absolutely ridiculous.
I think you heard them from me originally, probably.
Oh, probably.
But I heard them from, like, apparently there was some janitorial staff there that were there, like, when 9/11 happened, and all these, like, blacked out SUVs appeared in the parking lot, and so they were like, that's why they're there, and, like, yeah, there was all this sort of weird rumor.
Oh, of course.
Yeah,
because where you want to put stuff, the mall where there's the most people out in public at all times.
Well, maybe it's hide in plain sight, you know, that sort of thing.
The thing they don't tell you about hide in plain sight is it doesn't work. That's why the word hiding exists, to get out of plain sight.
Dear. See, all right, fine then. You ruined our dreams of... I mean, what are they even doing in the Canadian Secret Service building? They're probably... just listening to what the Americans are doing.
Well, I'm sure they're all jazzed up now with the C-51 stuff. They're probably, I don't know. They're getting all set up and ready to go.
Well, yeah.
they're
getting Windows 8, guys. This thing's getting serious now. Okay, so but going back to aliens, what's your theory? Aliens, do they exist? How far away are they? Are they going to kill us?
Okay, I think that just... you know, probability and math-wise, they have to exist, but they're probably, at the very most, about as advanced as we are, so haven't come nowhere near us and won't for a very long time.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think it's silly to think that, you know, I don't know. The whole idea that you can cross those vast distances quick enough to, like, pop in on a planet and...
without just melting yourself in transit, yeah.
Exactly. It's ridiculous. But I don't know. There's, you know, they've They're working on warp engines and stuff, theoretically. So,
well,
maybe it's true.
For me,
anything could be real. That's my whole philosophy. It's arrogant to believe anything because you're basically saying I'm right if you believe in something. And there's no way for you to know you're right, no matter how much evidence backs it up, because there's nothing that's impossible, just highly improbable.
So we shouldn't. So, but you mean we? I think you. But we can believe some things because we can believe gravity exists. We can believe that.
But gravity doesn't exist if you go down to a small enough level, and science hasn't come up with an explanation for that yet.
It's, really? Like, there's no gravity? Well, how do they know that, then, that it doesn't exist?
It's something I don't know. I read that on an internet article, like I get most of my bullshit. So I'm sure it's something to do with the Hadron Collider and the research they do there into subatomic particles. But yeah, like, apparently the whole theory of gravitation and everything kind of breaks down at an ultra-micro level. There's all sorts of theories and things in quantum science that's absolutely like just science fictiony type stuff. You know, a beam of light that exists in two places simultaneously and crazy nonsense like that. So anything's possible as far as I'm concerned.
Fair it is. I mean, for me, what confirmed for me my belief that like there must be something out there was literally the first 5 minutes of the 1980s version of Cosmos with Carl Sagan.
Oh, yeah.
In the beginning, he described how there's a billion trillion stars, which is a number that's just too big for anyone to comprehend. Like, it's absurd. That's where the probability just seems like, how can we be the only example? I mean, you know, and I mean, that's why I think also that there's a good chance that if there is life forms, they may have been formed in similar circumstances, which they think now is like sort of like nitrogen and other minerals in the water getting electricity added to them, and it creates like single-celled amoebas. So if it's the same blueprint to get there, you know, arguably they would have like, you know, similar senses. Like, they need to see, they need to hear, they need to be able to breathe in whatever atmosphere. Like, you know, you would eventually evolve, I think, to be somewhat similar to creatures we know, you know, things like fur and skin, and you know, so you basically either would be hard shell or soft shell epidermis, like we have, like.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not too like read up on it or anything, but I think there's something called convergent evolution, where like different organisms from entirely different parts of the world over the course of their millions of years of evolution have ended up looking or behaving exactly like each other. That's probably a pretty good theory. I mean, everything has to move around. Everything has to have a way of perceiving what's around it,
right,
on some level. So, you know, we probably recognize life from other planets life, at least.
Yeah, because even if it didn't, like, have eyes, it would have to have some sort of, like, bat-like sonar or something.
Who knows? You know? It could just be entire planets of alien algae and coral.
I think lizard people. Alive, that seems like a possibility, like lizard men. And
lizard men.
That could be exciting. But anyway, I think it's time to play a song. We'll come back with some more fascinating nonsense. So this is another Canadian artist. This is the brilliant Grimes with Oblivion. So I hope you enjoy this one.
I'm grows.
All right, there you go. That was DOA with police brutality, which was a pick of Kai's over there. Do you enjoy that one, did you?
Yeah, I love that song, man.
Well, it's actually highly appropriate because my our next discussion I was going to talk about tonight is the Cannabis Day fun that we had on Wednesday. So for those who don't know, Cannabis Culture, which is Mark Emery's group that are basically... going after legalization and marijuana across the board, they basically staged their annual, they call it a protest, but it's a lot like the 420, what we refer to as a celebration, I think, nowadays, yeah. Where basically they go outside the art gallery. And the art center, I'm like, that's not right, the art gallery, and smoke a lot of weed, and people sell it and sell edibles and all that fun stuff. And so there was a couple of arrests this time, and the police said it was because vendors were selling items to underage kids. And, you know, people were still upset about the arrests. But I don't know. I think this one's, you know, fair enough, in my opinion. What do you think, man?
Yeah, honestly, I'm all for legalization across the board, recreational, medicinal, whatever you want. But, yeah, you don't sell stuff to kids. That's maybe just common sense. I mean, even if you're just tackling it from a purely science basis, it does do damage to kids. So why not just keep it for the adults to have fun?
Yeah, I mean, arguably, like, your brain develops, from what I've understood from psychology classes, like, your brain continues to develop right up until about 25. Yeah. So, like, even doing it in your early 20s is not actually a brilliant idea, perhaps. I mean, how much it develops is arguable. You know, a lot of the, you know, because that's why you are so insane as a teenager, is because there's huge synaptic basically dump when you're in your like 11 or 12, where like, and then they like, it's basically pruned over the next 10 years,
right?
And that's why you become irrational, and you actually, rather than getting better behaved as you should do as you get older, you actually have this weird blip of acting out as we see in teenagers. So yeah, like, you know, you, that's a really temperamental time to be doing drugs.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I'm not anti-drug by any measure. But I think everything in moderation, everything responsibly. So if you know something's going to, you know, have a effect on your development, maybe don't do it. That said, you know, even if you are developing up to 25, honestly, early 20s doesn't, like, let them make their own decisions.
Yeah.
You're a grown up.
Yeah. I mean, legally you are. I mean, you know, I mean, any age you choose to become decide that's the adult age is arbitrary to the most point, because everyone develops at different times. So you do have to take sort of a medium idea of it.
For sure. I'm not sure, like, when it was decided that 18 was kind of the, I guess it's just because that's when you graduate high school. So that's when you're a grown up, but people are always excited to turn 18 for some reason.
Yeah, and I think, like, it's the weird thing about it too is that you will start to behave a certain way because it's expected of you. Right. But if we said the age of maturity was 25 and you stayed in school and you stayed at home until you were 25, I think a lot of people just wouldn't grow up till 25. Well, but if you said it was 16, maybe people would suddenly be like, somehow, you know, would be maybe more together pretty quick, because that in their mind was when they had to start getting their stuff together.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that, because honestly, I kind of think we're seeing that happen more and more with the millennial generation. More and more people are staying at home and just going to school, not moving out and getting jobs after high school, right?
Well, I think what it is that we are less responsible, perhaps. We have less responsibility now than our parents did, because we didn't get married at 20. We didn't start having kids. Like, my mom said she was 22 when she got married, and she was the last person of her friend group to be married. And you know, so that is definitely not the case anymore.
No, not at all.
So we don't grow up as quick. But I mean, you know, even the idea of marriage, though, it is fading away. I mean, it does seem a bit absurd. I mean, we were talking about this earlier. The fact that, like, married couples get tax breaks seems like, in my opinion, a slight on perhaps what we now understand are as important different groups, such as people who are asexual, or people, you know, there may be groups that don't want to live with other people. Yeah. And so why should they have to pay more tax for it? It does seem a little unfair, you know.
You say that, but I don't know. Try being married and then see if maybe you deserve a bit of a break.
But it's your choice to do that. No one's forcing you to. I mean, she might or he might be forcing you, but that's again a matter for the courts, I think. But
I don't know. I think marriage has its place, but more as a thing between two people and their families and everything on a, I hesitate to say spiritual level, but like that personal level. The whole legal marriage is just silly. Like, yay, I'm going to sign over half my rights and property and stuff, and there's no way I can tell if it's going to work out well for me. It seems a little arbitrary. I mean, what other contract do you sign where the terms can change?
Where they take half your stuff, probably like a cell phone contract or something like that. But anyway, we're going to play another track and we'll be back. We're going to stick with our Pemberton Festival theme now. We're going to play a track from one of my favorite artists. He's fantastic live. He'll be playing at Pemberton this year. His name is Father John Misty. This is from his first album. He's just got his second album out, though, and he's done just as good on the new one, so definitely check him out. This is Father John Misty. We'll be right back.
There you go. That was Father John Misty with Forever Cemetery. And that was, I said, it's a cracking track in my opinion. Unfortunately, though, we have come to the end of our show. We are, of course, followed by the always awesome Synaptic Sandwich. So if you like a bit of EDM and it's eclectic, I hear, definitely stick around. We'll be back next week. Oh, actually, we won't be back next week. I'm off camping in sunny Kamloops. Family commitment, unfortunately, but it's all good. It's all good. But we will be back the week after with a brand new sketch show, and of course another half hour of nonsense and music. But thank you so much, Kai, for coming in today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was great.
Yeah, it was always a good time with you here. I'm going to leave you with a bit of Crystal Castles, we'll Synaptic Sandwich will be with you very shortly. So have a lovely night, and we'll see you in a fortnight. Which is 2 weeks for all you Canadians. Bye-bye.